we come now to Leviticus 13 and verse 38 onwards. I spoke on these things recently at the Gospel Hall in Chalfont St. Peter, but there was no recording, so for the sake of completeness of the series, I'm going to record this one privately. And we're at verse 38. Just a reminder that 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." That's why we study the Old Testament, and we draw from it principles that may inform our spiritual lives today. Now, we're at verse 38 of Leviticus 13. "If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean." Again, in this example, the example of bright spots, both the man and the woman are specifically mentioned. And here it would again be a visible manifestation of sins, but mentioned in the plural, as opposed to what we had in verse 4. And we find in verse 39 that no judgment is necessary in this case. They're minor matters to bring it into its spiritual meaning. Just minor sins, relatively, not serious enough to merit excommunication. And this is a principle, of course, which we need to bear in mind. We don't pick up absolutely every little thing. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We don't pick up every little thing. We're not, I hope, easily offended. And sometimes we just bear things and we don't make any comment about it. Or we might see our brother or our sister do something which is perhaps a bit ill-advised, not something we would do ourselves. Well, it's not always helpful and timely to pick up all these things. Someone recently said to me, "Why didn't you tell me that what I was saying was wrong?" They were using a worldly expression. Well, because you can't always pick up everything, and it's not always convenient to pick up everything, but maybe the time will arise when you can have a suitable word on the matter. But it's not everybody you can speak to and be sure you're going to get a good reception. So we just wait opportunities. And also, there is an aptness in us, I think, to notice the speck in the eye of our brother or sister, but not the plank in our own eye. Then we come in verse 40 to baldness. "And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean." So there's no need in this case for any action, and this would be equivalent to something minor that needs no action as it occurs in the assembly. Verse 41, "And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head towards his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or in his bald forehead." Case of verse 41, there's no need for inspection or observation. But in the case of verse 42, there's baldness. Baldness at the back of the head, that's the idea of it. Where it speaks of baldness in the head as distinct from bald forehead. So there are two cases, back head baldness and the forehead baldness. The latter marked Uzziah. You may remember he was a king of Judah. He was characterized by pride and rebellion. That's what I think we have here by this particular leprosy in the forehead. Uzziah, he was king and his heart was lifted up and he wanted to offer incense in the temple. It wasn't enough for him to be king, he wanted something more. And to offer incense was the privilege of the priests alone. the priests boldly confronted him, and they said, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary." But he was angry with them, and he held the censer in his hand, and as he did so, the leprosy rose up in his forehead. He then dwelt in a several house and remained a leper until the day of his death. 2 Corinthians 26 gives us all the details. So, in verse 43, here is a man with this case. "Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head." This word reddish that we see in verse 43 is the word we've had before. It comes from Adam. The word is Adam, Dam, and it's got characteristics therefore of Adam, and that which characterizes fallen man. Only in this case is the leper described as utterly unclean, showing how pride and rebellion affect the whole person. And then we find verse 45, there are four things he must do. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. First, his clothes are to be torn. Second, his head is to be uncovered. Third, his upper lip is to be covered, probably with his hand. And he is to cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be, without or outside of the camp. He is defiled, unclean, he dwells alone, he is outside the camp. And he's put out of the camp so that he doesn't defile the rest of the camp." We have this in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6. "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 13, "Therefore put away from among you, from among yourselves, that wicked person." So we don't leave someone who is in a serious state of sin in the assembly where it can only spread and affect others. The time comes when someone in that condition has to be put out, put away. And being out then would feel his shame. This is what it says in Numbers 12 verse 14 of Miriam, who you may remember, she spoke against Moses, and as a result she was smitten with leprosy. And it says in Numbers 12:14, "Should she not be ashamed 7 days?" When Israel came into the land, then there was no longer a camp as such. They were then, in that case, the leper was put outside the city. 2 Kings 7 verse 3, an example. Or in several house, as we had in 2 Chronicles 26. Now when a brother or sister is put away, the elder should outline briefly to the assembly the wrong that has been committed. They don't have to go into lurid details, but certainly to give enough information for the assembly to be able to concur with the judgment of the elders, because it is not just the elders that put away, but the whole assembly. As I mentioned on a previous occasion, when excommunication is being spoken of, we sometimes hear some unhelpful expressions. I'm thinking of get rid of them or throw them out. They're not scriptural expressions, and they're not scriptural sentiments at all. The scriptural expression is to put away, and there is hope always that there might be recovery of the one who's been put away. Now, the believer who is put out of fellowship shouldn't be able to indulge in casual worship with the saints and continue coming on to meetings and having full fellowship as if nothing had happened. And nor should he be received by another company of Christians. He wouldn't have a letter of commendation, so they shouldn't receive him. And if a church did receive him, then they would be associating with his wickedness, and they would be inviting divine judgment upon the church. Now, I know there are places where this discipline is not practiced at all. Well, such companies will displease God, and the work which they may assume is pleasing will not be acceptable to God, and they'll find that out in the judgment day. We then come to leprosy in a garment, verse 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in the skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garments or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and shall be showed unto the priest. Garments in Bible times are often spoken of as being valuable. Now today, in this country, in England, garments are relatively cheap and disposable. But in those days, in that part of the world, and still in other parts of the world today, garments are very much more valued, and they are kept and they're patched for as long as they could. There's a reluctance to destroy them. And another thing, in the wilderness, that probably was some difficulty in washing garments always and keeping them clean and fresh and airing them. We are speaking here of garments, not just of cloth. It's that which clothes the flesh worn by a man or a woman. And it's the same word garment as is expressed as clothes in verse 6, beget, which means covering. What are we thinking of here spiritually? Well, not what we've had before us in the previous verses, that which comes from deep within the flesh to be manifested in ugly eruptions on the surface, but rather it's what's seen on the outside. Garments speak of character, outward behaviour, demeanour, deportments, and dress. Mark's Gospel often speaks of garments, where it's character. And in Revelation 3, verse 4, we have, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." So some in Sardis had defiled their garments. What have they done? They were spiritually dead. Their works were not found perfect before God. They had works. They had a reputation that they lived. But their works did not please God. And so it is with much of what passes for Christian worship and testimony. It's characterized by the things that belong to fallen man and the world. Hymns are superficial, repetitive, excessively accompanied by worldly instrumentation. Prayers are shallow, not Christ-centered, more request than worship or praise. And then conversation is all worldly, because interests and appetites are being fed by the world and not by scripture and Christian fellowship. Do you feel embarrassed about talking about the Lord? Are you unable to enter into a spiritual conversation and to discuss things in the Bible and to talk about what you've been reading in the Bible? And yet you find yourself easily able to talk about worldly things, then it may be that you are wearing a leprous garment. A garment with red or green characterizing it, a leprosy. Garments would include our dress and deportment also, and the world can greatly influence us in this area. We have scriptures to guide us. Sisters should dress modestly at all times to please the Lord. She should have long hair, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15, if she can grow it. Some sisters are unable to grow their hair. We would obviously understand that. And if we read Isaiah 3, we would find there a long list of allurements and vanities worn by the women of Israel. And their vain deportment, and how God would judge it all. That's Isaiah 3. Then if we're coming to the meeting, we shouldn't dress as if we're going to the beach. And nor should we turn up smartly for the breaking of bread meeting in the morning and then come along to the gospel meeting casually dressed. That can't be right. We don't go in for noisy slogans on t-shirts and scruffy jeans. There should be something about our outward demeanour that commends the gospel and shows men and women that we belong to Christ. I'm not saying that we should overdress, that would be a mistake too. And it would put off people, the poorer saints, or those whom we're trying to reach. If we're looking absurdly overdressed, we might deem it appropriate to wear a tie in England, but if we went to India or Malaysia, we may not necessarily wear a tie. We might look conspicuous there, and where the temperature is much higher, then of course we would dress in a way that would be suited to that climate. The adornment of the sister is brought out in 1 Peter 3. Whose adornment? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. And we've also got 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, verse 48 said, whether it be in the warp or woof. The warp would be the lengthwise threads on the loom, and the woof the transverse threads which are woven through the warp. So this leprosy might be working along the transverse threads and leaving the others unaffected. Well, that would be a mixture, and God hates mixture. Probably most of us to some degree are a mixture. And there are things characterizing us that don't characterize Christ. We allow external influences to affect our demeanor and our dress and our appearance and our language. This is all part of the garment. Do we spice our language with slang and unwholesome expressions adopted from the world? It's alarming to hear some of the expressions that believers are using now, which are words that have an evil origin. Maybe a sexual origin, or maybe a religious origin, some kind of blasphemy that has been modified to make a euphemism. And expressions in worldly conversation are very, very common of this type. If we don't know the origin of the expressions that we're using, then we're better avoiding them, because the world will know, or very often the world will know, and they'll be surprised that a believer should use those expressions. Verse 49, the word red, that's again the same word that comes from Adam, and it would speak to my mind of that which characterizes fallen man. Green, I'm not sure what that speaks of. I'm going to suggest that it speaks of that which is of the world, but I couldn't give an adequate support of that. Then in verse 49, if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garments or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and shall be showed unto the priest, and the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. So the person isn't shut up, but the garment is. And then verse 51, he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin, or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy, it is unclean. God clothed Adam and Eve with skins, of course, and those skins, they spoke of Christ and his sacrifice and the adornment that he provides. But if that skin is diseased, then of course that picture is spoiled. What we have in verse 52 is described as a fretting leprosy. Fretting, the word means bitter or painful. He shall therefore burn that garment. Whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. Well, the remedy with this is ruthless. No attempt to salvage anything, it must be destroyed. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Just try to imagine a man walking about with leprous garments. He might be clean himself, and this would be highly improbable, wouldn't it? And yet his garments, thick with mildew or disease, that would be very unsightly and utterly incongruous. Well, so it is with a saint to have been cleansed, and yet outwardly there is that which characterizes us, which is unseemly. And we are very apt to copy worldly men and women, perhaps rock stars or sporting heroes and this kind of thing. They're not the best role models for a Christian. But we should be emulating godly men and women, taking example from them and from godly men and women in Scripture, and particularly Paul the Apostle. These ought to be the ones whom we look up to and we copy. Verse 53, and if the priest shall look, and behold the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed his colour, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. So, there's the washing. As we saw before, this is the ministry of the Word of God. If there can be any recovery at all, then there should be this ministry. And we see that in Ephesians 5 verse 26, the washing of the water by the Word. Where it speaks in verse 55 of bare, then it means threadbare. And in verse 56, if the priest look, and behold the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. Well, in that case, the extent of the leprosy is too limited to warrant destruction of the whole garment. But it can't be cleansed, so it has to be ripped out. And this would be a more limited matter which characterizes a believer. And it has to be judged ruthlessly, but it's not to say that the whole outward aspect of that believer is leprous. In verse 57, and if it appear still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague, thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. So here's another description of leprosy. It's a spreading plague or a spreading leprosy, and nothing can be done here. It's not recovered, been washed, it hasn't responded, then the whole garment is leprous and it has to be got rid of. We can say that of a garment, we wouldn't say it of a person. Jude 23 says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And this isn't a case of mixture, as we have before, but the whole outward aspect of a man or woman is not right. And in that case, the words of Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24 would be pertinent. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Or that ye have put off, and ye have put on. And this would seem to my mind to be a case where there is nothing spiritual at all, and is not a believer. And what we see in the outward aspects of this individual that won't respond to any entreaty or ministry for the word of God is just a manifestation of something much, much deeper, that that individual has never come to know the Lord, and so there's nothing to be saved. Finally, in verse 58, and the garment, either warp or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and it shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. You see that there's washing for the second time. And if we're recovering something for God, if anything can be recovered, then it's safe to bring the ministry of the Word of God to bear more than once, just to make sure of that recovery. Finally, I leave with you a verse from James 1, verse 2. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.